Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, we are live with Jaguar Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Hope you guys have had a great Monday. It has been fantastic on this side. A little bit later on, we'll break down the tight end situation, or the tight end position, rather. As every week, I'm going to try to tackle a different position for you guys and give you updates on maybe who we've signed or who we've let go, or just, you know, the breakdown of who's doing better, who's kind of ahead of who at this particular juncture. I catch you up on some of the more recent events that have happened, and I'm pretty excited because we're going to be joined by a good friend of mine and a diehard Jaguar fan, if there ever was one. Mr. Casey Jones will be joining us a little later today, and I know he's excited about it, and I'm excited about that. I hope you guys are as well. But I do want to catch you guys up on some of the recent things, and as of the other day, you know, the U.S. men's national team had a friendly, which is just, you know, kind of a tune-up for the World Cup, basically. The standings really don't matter, those sorts of things. But the most important thing is that we're finally getting people to come to Everbank Field who maybe have never been there before. It's already a great stadium. There's a lot of great things and just ways to interact. You know, you can still have a good time and not even really be there for the event that's happening. I mean, there's some, you know, I know the unveiling of the big boards will be during the concerts this summer, which are definitely worth trying to check out. It seemed like some really cool people are coming into town. But the way soccer's slowly taken off and everything, and I know Jacksonville is a really good spot for soccer. There's so much of the culture there that just is breeding even these great stars as they're coming up. But having the U.S. men's team in, I mean, I watched the game. It was just, you know, incredible to be able to watch them on the same field that you can see a Jaguar game at. You know, as much fun as it was to watch Carson Palmer get nailed on the very field that, you know, Jose Altidore, or Josie Altidore, however you want to say it, was scoring goals. I mean, that's awesome. Some of the other recent things, around 2,000 of you guys, 2,000, that's just think about that. Just look around the room you're in right now, or, you know, if you're out eating right now, you know, don't disturb a lot of people, but, you know, look around at the 20 people closest to you. And that's times 100. So 2,000 of you guys went to the open public OTA, and that's just awesome. For one, like I said, the Jaguars are one of the few teams who actually have these open practices where people can actually, you know, people can actually go and watch the team. The Falcons don't do that. I'm pretty sure the Patriots don't do that. I'm pretty sure everybody else in the AFC South doesn't do that. You can't go see Andrew Luck on a practice field. You can't go see the Tennessee Titans on a practice field. And you sure can't see Jadeveon Clowney on a practice field right now if you're just a fan. I mean, you got to almost sneak into the stadium probably to see some of those guys. But the Jaguars make it so accessible so that you can see the new guys and show them what it's like to be a part of this. You can see the older guys or the guys that, you know, were here maybe just for 1 year already, but to let them know Jacksonville and Jag Nation are behind them. And that's awesome. That's just a super, super killer thing. I did want to tell you guys that do remember on the mini camp practices for June 17th through the 19th, they are open to the public as well. If we can get 2,000 to show up to the OTA earlier this week or last week, I believe we could get 4,000 or 5,000 combined. You guys go to these mini camp practices and, you know, let these players know how much it means to you, not only that you're there, but that they're representing your team the way they do. I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, I'm gonna put the number right now. I'm gonna say that I'm going to put it on you guys. I'm going to say a combined 4,600 of you guys during those three days of practice. 4,700. So that means all you got to do is average a little over 1,500 a day. I want to see it out there. Prove to me, you know, prove to me, prove to them, prove to everybody. It prove to yourself that you're buying into this team. 4,600. And, of course, I'll be looking at those numbers, and I'll announce on here what the overall total was. I do want to mention that the 11th annual Got Skills Rookie Day, which is on Friday, June the 20th, which would be the day after those open public mini camp practices I just told you about, that's a Friday. You can register your child as long as they're between 6 and 14 years old on Jaguars.com. It's a really cool fan-friendly event, you know. It gives your kid a chance to get out there on the field and participate in these events and, you know, stay fit and learn how to take care of yourself, even at a young age. It's so important to be able to take care of yourself at a young age so that you don't – sometimes you don't run into some of the hiccups in life that you could have avoided. And another thing I wanted to hit on, especially before we get Casey on here in a few minutes, is – there's a thing that the Jaguars like to do. It's called the vet of the game, and that's where they take a military veteran and they showcase them for the game. They're kind of like the fan of the day, and that's, you know, because we just had the 70th anniversary of D-Day this past week, and, you know, thoughts and prayers to anybody with this serving in the military, and you know, it's not just Jacksonville and the Jaguar fans, but we all stand united when it comes to our military. And you guys have our love and support, and we appreciate everything you do. But, you know, I've been to Raymond James Field in Tampa, and I've been to, I mean, I've been to a lot of places, but between Raymond James in Tampa and Everbank in Jacksonville, those are by far two of the bigger places that I've ever been to with such a military presence. And I know, you know, most places have nearby forts and stations and stuff like that, but the Jaguars and the Buccaneers go out of their way to make the military feel so welcome and to give them opportunities to experience the game in ways they wouldn't even probably imagine. And that's just, I mean, kudos to those two teams for that very reason. But I did want to break down the tight end position real quick. And, you know, it's not as cut and dry as people want to make it. I mean, I'm a Mercedes Lewis fan. As far as, to me, he's been really good. He's gotten a little dinged up, but playing tight end, you're going to get dinged up a little bit. I actually like Clay Harbor a good bit as well. I think if we ran them as a 1-2 tandem would be really good, but, you know, there's a lot of other guys on this roster that a lot of you guys don't know about, and I was going to, you know, try to catch you up and tell you a little bit about some of these guys. Like I said, Mercedes Lewis, we know he's been in Jacksonville for, you know, ever since getting out of UCLA. We were able to grab him as a first-round pick back in 06, and he's been with us ever since. He's got the, you know, he's listed around 6'6 and 272, which is, that's pretty much what you're looking for out of tight end. That's slightly above the average tight end in the league. You know, he's, like I said, he's kind of been banged up, and there's been times where you just wish things would have worked out a little better. A lot of times he hasn't been able to finish the year or play all 16 games. But we're in a different scheme now. This scheme should help him out a good bit. I believe he's got right around 25 or so career touchdowns. And I mean, all kinds of awards, even at UCLA, an All Pac-10, John Mackey Award for the best tight end. He was a finalist. You know, there's all these various things. But what I can tell you is Mercedes Lewis, to me, is a Jaguar. And not just because it's what's on his jersey or who signs his check. It's nothing like that. It's the fact that he's such a good person on and off the field, and he's such a good teammate. And he goes, you know, he goes to bat for people, and he helps them out. And You never see him give up on a play, even when he's injured. There's times that you really don't even know he's injured because he'll just go all out trying to make that killer play. The only thing I see that could kind of hinder his position on the team are those injuries and the fact that, I mean, he's been in the league for a handful of years. I mean, it's just, I feel bad for the guy, but not in a super bad way. It's not like they're going to drop him off the team. He may be number two on the depth chart only because, you know, the next guy I want to talk about was Clay Harbor, who drafted by the Eagles, fourth rounder, 2010, played at Missouri State. I mean, you know, all things you could read off the internet. But Clay Harbor plays very hard. He's very intense. You know, I mean, the Eagles to me misused him, and that's kind of why, you know, kind of why to me they ended up on waivers, and we ended up picking him up. Is I don't think people know what they can really do with him, and it's not for lack of effort on his part. I don't think he's been given that opportunity. But with the Jaguars grabbing him last September, you know, we were able to see him play all 16. Games, caught 24 passes for 292 yards. He ended up with two touchdowns. I mean, he kind of was slowly molding into the guy we wanted Mercedes Lewis to be until he got injured. So that's why I'm saying you could almost do a 1-2 punch there. And, I mean, that's almost like what New England did a couple years ago before obviously before one of their before their main guy got hurt and their secondary guy became a criminal. But, you know, that's for them to sort out. Other people that are currently on the roster, you got Brandon Barden. He was a Titan. We won't hold that against him, you know, because he was undrafted. They gave him a shot and kind of showed, in a way, the best thing is we got to kind of look and see what the Lincolnton, Georgia native could actually do. You know, had some decent numbers at Vanderbilt. He's been on our practice squad, and then he was signed to the active roster. Most of the time, you don't always sign people to the active roster from the practice squad at the end of the year, but they wanted to make sure that he was given a fair opportunity this year in camp to make the squad, and also wanted to make sure nobody else was able to grab him, because we do feel like there's a spot on the field for him. A couple of the other people, Reggie Jordan, went to school Missouri Western State. He will be a rookie this year, 6'3", 240. I mean, if you look, we almost have the prototypical productive style tight ends. We're going more for the Jimmy Graham, Tony Gonzalez. And I'm not saying we're looking for that just stud star tight end. I mean, what we're really looking for is the tall, athletic guys who can lay blocks when they need to, who can run the formations and just wreak havoc on the linebackers in the middle of the field. And, you know, Reggie Jordan's one of those type. Brandon Barden's one of those type. There's also Marcel Jensen, who's on the roster right now, and DJ Tevalea. DJ, I wish I could pronounce your name, but somewhere I'm tongue-tied today. But, I mean, overall, like I said, we're looking at it. It's tight end is at one of its strongest points that it's been in a long time down here, maybe since the Caldwell days. And it's not for lack of talent other years. I feel like we finally put together a roster of some really killer guys who are just ready to just absolutely ball right now. But I am right up against a break. On the other side of the break, we will have the featured guest this week, Mr. Casey Jones, on. Feel free to call in and ask him or myself questions. Our number is 347-826-7448. Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Hey, Zoners, it's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? Then Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more. And we are here back on the Jaguar Zone. Hope you guys are visiting our sponsors and letting them know how much you appreciate them and how awesome they really are. But right now, I do want to bring on our featured guests. I was lucky enough to get to hang out with him quite a bit when I was down in Jacksonville. Casey, how you doing today?
All right, buddy. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. And as I was saying, I did get the opportunity to get to hang out with you and quite a few other friends last time I was in Jacksonville. Luckily enough, I'm not trying to throw you a curveball out of the gate, but we actually met up at the one of the Tebow rallies.
Yes, we did. That's water under the bridge with the new quarterback that they just brought in. So it just didn't work out, didn't pan out, but my God, I wish we could go back in time and change that little history just to see how it turned out.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, given Bortles being drafted and everything, that kind of does not necessarily seal the door, but it makes it hard for them to go after somebody like Tebow. But to me, what you guys did with those rallies, it wasn't just about trying to influence management to go after Tebow, but you were showing them that the fans want to be heard and that you guys like to throw those rallies together just to hang out and support the Jaguars, not just to try to, you know, influence their decisions.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. After we flew the plane over the second Jaguar home game, which was late September, I had heard from a couple of my connections from the inside that we did actually bring them to the table and have them discuss with Tebow's agent about bringing him on board. It just didn't pan out, and I almost hate to even bring it up now, but it's pretty cool that plane cost $1,250 and it hit nationally and it was on ESPN and they talked about it several times and for me to know personally that it did bring both sides to the table, and at least it did pan out and have a couple of a couple of days talks with his agent. It just didn't pan out and didn't happen. But like I said, water under the bridge, and we're starting a new chapter in Jacksonville now, and no pressure for Bortles, but the lifeblood of this team depends on him and how good of a season he has, and hope to God down the road he doesn't remind us of Gabbert, and we can't survive another hit like that, another hit and miss like we did with Gabbert. It would be devastating to this franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you are part of the Champions Club, I believe it's called. And through those, I've noticed a lot of photos where you've gotten to meet a lot of the players, including Mr. Bortles. What was that like?
I tell you what, the Champions Club is a volunteer organization through the Jaguars. The Jaguars, of course, sponsor it and put it on. And And what it is you can only be in the club or considered in the Champions Club if you're a season ticket owner. So it kind of weeds out a little riffraff and you know, stuff like that. So you not saying that you can't be a diehard fan and not be a season ticket holder, but you understand what I'm saying. It kind of weeds out everybody, and if you're a serious fan, diehard fan, and you can afford it, that's something too. You probably won't be a season ticket holder, and just to have access to the team, just volunteering. Last year, I think I ended up volunteering 98 hours, and I got to go on the field out of the 9 home games. You know, I went on the field pregame, six or seven games, you know, got the pitchers with the cheerleaders and with Jackson, the mascot, and it was just priceless. You know, we get to stand on the field during the national anthem, and just to have access to a game. Like you said, I met Bortles was it a week or two ago. We had our champion where we got to meet and greet and talk to all the new rookies that they brought in, not only the ones that they drafted, but the free agent rookies. And I shook every one of their hands and welcomed them to Jacksonville. Just having, you know, and I got to talk to Dave Caldwell. I probably talked to him over 5 minutes, closer to 10 minutes. And just to have that access and to be around football is so exciting. It is so worth the little bit of volunteering that I do for them. And we assist the guys in the office to ticket sales. We have a little bit to do with, you know, not only with the ticket sales, but, you know, just getting the word out. And like I've worked a little Jaguar table at my gym, you know, just to do a little ticket sale drive, just to talk to people, you know, meet them, you know, people I hadn't talked to before. Just to talk Jaguar football is exciting. So I'm telling you, everybody's excited this year. I've sold probably 3 to almost 4 times as many tickets as I sold last year. This is my second year in the Champions Club, and the excitement's there with this draft. And then we're getting so lucky and picking up them two great wide receivers in the second round. From the scoreboards to the pools, it's easy to sell tickets. People are approaching you, asking you. People are inboxing me on Facebook. I help administrate the largest group, the Facebook group Jaguar. It's Jacksonville Jaguar fans group on Facebook, and people inbox me off of that and say, "Hey man, I saw your post on our group. How can I get tickets?" It's just the excitement's there. Caldwell and Gus is doing a fantastic job. So we'll see how it pans out on the field. That's for sure.
Yeah definitely so. And I wouldn't really say surprised, because I always knew that the following was there, but the particular game I got to go to, the whole place was just electric. I mean, it almost had a Super Bowl feel to it, and yet at the time it was like a 2 or 3 win team, but you don't know it because the fans have this electricity about them that it just makes the experience at Everbank just that much more positive.
Oh, yeah. The most exciting game, the most packed game last year was, of course, the Thursday night game, and that was a very, very exciting game, and the crowd was really into it, and I'm excited. Everybody's excited to start this season off. I'm telling you, the excitement's there. For me to sell almost 4 times as many seats as I sold last year, and I've still got about 2 more months less, you know, to sell, you know, I'm hopefully going to be able to sell, you know, 7 or 8 times as many seats as I sold last year. So it's almost what I'm on track to do.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, like I said, I am talking to my special guest and Champions Club member for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Mr. Casey Jones, here on Jaguar Zone. You know, what's just kind of a quick your outlook for the Jag season? What do you kind of see this year, or what are you looking forward to?
I think I'm dreaming, I guess you could say, or I'm hoping that if we can go 8-8, you know, if we can go 7-9, we'll be an improvement. I mean, 2 years ago we only won 2 games. Last year we won 4 games. You know, if we can get 7-8, I mean, if you're really dreaming, maybe 9 wins. Any of them, like I said, even going 7-9 is a if we keep going up every year and improving, and this new regime, Dave Caldwell and Gus, it'll be a positive thing. And like I said, the excitement's there, and the fan base is really finally coming back alive like it was in the late 90s when we had them playoff. We had several playoff runs in a row.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, and it's, you know, and I think a lot of fans are sometimes scared to you know, admit that they feel like the team is going to, you know, improve so much or improve to a certain level to say 8-8 or 7-9. But, I mean, that's kind of where I have the team right now anyway, just realistically, and that's just kind of overview of what I've seen so far. It'll, you know, as the preseason goes on, we'll be able to make better, more accurate calls. But, I mean, to me, I would be proud that the Jaguars are doing it the right way. They're not trying to buy a championship. They're not, you know, trying to build this for a big run, which kind of brings me to, it's become my new favorite question to ask people. What's kind of your opinion on the, you know, playing Chad Henne, sitting Blake Bortles for a year?
I honestly don't think it'll last a year. About halfway through the season, the way our schedule is, we've got a tough 5-game stretch. It's I mean, we could possibly go 0-5 out the gate. Of course, you know, we're hoping and wishing that doesn't happen. But if we can win 2 out of the first 5 games, that'll be huge, and that'll point us towards the way the season we're going to have. Because of the way our schedule is, it's so front-loaded. I mean, I think we only have, 2 home games? The schedule is brutal. The first couple months, we have 2 home games in the first month and a half.
Yeah, I believe it was something like that. I'm trying to pull it now.
It's just brutal. So I think we only have 1 home game in September, and then October 5th we play Pittsburgh.
Right.
So it's the way our schedule is set up. We got a bunch of home games towards the end of the season. So it's a brutal. We only have 1 home game. September 21st is the Colts. That's for the whole month of September. So we have 3 away games. We come home and we play Pittsburgh October 5th, and then the next week, like I said, we have 2 in the first month and a half. We have 2 home games. So
that's just
brutal.
Yeah, and you know, coming out of, you know, it's a pretty fun looking as far as the teams you'll get to play and get to kind of see some of the matchups as far as the preseason schedule, but even though you end on a home game, it is those kind of pesky Atlanta Falcons that are coming in for that last. I believe it's August 28th or so, I believe, is the last game. But, you know, really you're looking at 2 teams who kind of had a down year who are looking to prove a lot. And to me, that game against the Falcons, even though it's a preseason and won't really count for much, is going to kind of let us see where both those teams are this year.
Yeah, it depends on – you know, how long they're going to play the starters, you know, how long, you know, are they only going to pay them a quarter or a half, or, you know, maybe they're not going to play them, you know, the starters at all. They're just going to play them 1 series. It depends on, how that's going to go. I mean, they want to get the rookies in there and see, you know, when you trim that schedule to that 53, which is brutal. They got 90 players on the team now, and when you trim that, man, they want to see every inch of play before they have to decide to cut somebody. So.
All right, questions was sent in, because we do have a pretty good following here. I think it's a great following, but some of the people said, who is your current favorite Jaguar? Yeah, current, like one of those 90 on the roster right now.
I would have to say, and I have a hard time saying his last name, but probably our linebacker, what's his name? Last name? I can't even say it. I'd probably have to say that. I mean, with us losing Jones-Drew and Blackman, I mean, I guess you could say offensively Shorts would be a guy to look at.
Definitely.
You know, we really don't have a – you know, that's one thing about the Jaguars, we really don't have a standout guy. We don't have this stud on the team that, you know, everybody wants to go buy his jersey. I mean, besides the new guys coming in.
Right.
That's one thing that, you know, get back to the Tebow thing. Man, if, you know, he could have been our face of the franchise and, you know, one thing we don't have. So hopefully Bortles can come in and do that. I just don't understand them. If you're going to take a guy third and sit him for a year, was he really worth taking third overall? I mean, I know a quarterback named Luff that doesn't come around much, but if you're going to take a quarterback that early, I just don't see – I see Henny screwing up halfway through the season somehow and him coming in there and lighting it up. But, you know, all quarterbacks the first year – don't have a very good year. I mean, you look at Peyton Manning's first year. You look at Eli Manning's first year. You look at all these quarterbacks. They struggled their first year to try to get used to the speed of the NFL.
Yep.
So I think that's what they're thinking, you know, to take baby steps and just instead of throwing him out there, you know, almost to the wolves and saying, okay, we know you're going to make mistakes, but, you know, go ahead and go. So, I think that's what they're trying to do. So we'll see.
Yeah, and almost the way it looks, as much as I hate to say this, I do kind of – I mean, I hope Henny does well, but I'm kind of a Henny homer anyway. I've followed him since college. But at the same time, you know, if he does falter, I still feel like Gus is going to kind of keep Bortles, you know, holding a clipboard and really trying to learn. And, I mean, we could even see Ricky Stanzi get a shot.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people didn't even know he was still on the roster, but I mean, he's been second or third on the depth chart for a handful of years now, and I mean, he could step in and at least he may be, you know, another Alex Smith or something, a game manager who can get you through the game and at least get the ball to all those weapons we have now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say you want to get him experience and holding the clipboard, but how much experience can you get by just standing there holding the clipboard? You almost have to get out there and get after it to get experience. But, you know, they know what they're doing, and I understand they don't want to throw him out there to the wolves. And
I think they don't want to throw him out there to J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney twice a year right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of worth making sure he can still stand up to just make sure. And it's not the personal of Chad Henne, but, you know, in a way he's being thrown to those two particular wolves twice this year. And, you know, they can kind of gauge from there and go, okay, we're going to definitely have to run a different scheme to stop those guys.
Yeah, you know, I when I talked to Dave, I asked him, I said, you know, how hard was it to pass up Sam and Mac and on the draft, you know, how difficult was that? And his response to me was, well, we're not going to get it. Hopefully we won't get an opportunity again to take a quarterback this early in the draft. You know, there'll always be that wide receiver you can take in the middle of the draft or an outside linebacker in the middle of the draft. You don't get that opportunity to pick the first quarterback in the NFL draft, third overall, was his response. So,
yeah, and I agree. They definitely are trying to do the right thing, and you know, holding him back, I think, will do that. And it is true. I mean, I'm glad they were able to get a guy. I got a chance to talk with Allen Robinson, even though he's currently a little dinged up. I think stretched his legs a little too much. But, I mean, he'll be fine. But the kind of route running that he does, he's going to bring a whole new dynamic to this team. But, you know, yeah, it was a good draft. And you usually don't get a chance to get those studs that early. And it's kind of worth, you know, using a third pick because, I mean, next year the top quarterback, you know, or at least one of the top quarterbacks, if he can keep his nose clean, is from probably your least favorite school, that guy from FSU with the affinity for crab legs at Publix. You know, I won't mention his name because I don't really want to give him the press right now. But, you know, if he keeps up his talent, then it'd be a real scary situation if Jacksonville was looking at taking that guy.
Yeah, I don't think that would be even a possibility now that, you know, we've got a quarterback now.
Right. And that, in a way, they kind of, I think, and the Marcus Mariotas and that guy and the few others that could come out and said, you know, they're good, but we feel like this guy could be great for, you know, 10, 12 years. So I think that's why they're trying to protect him.
Right. Exactly. They know what's best, and I tell you what, I was kind of shaken up about the pick at first. I was actually pretty pissed off, if you want to be honest, when they first announced it, because it just came out of left field, came out of nowhere. Nobody predicted him, you know, that he was a, you know, middle of the draft, towards the end of the first round pick. And did you ever confirm that Texas did fill out two cards, that one was Clowney and the other one was him? Was that really? I knew that was rumored. I didn't know if that was had actually came out and said absolutely that's what happened. I had heard that from several sources.
I had heard that they really kind of went in. They had about three or four ideas for a long time. I mean, I haven't been able to confirm exactly all of them, but I knew Clowney was on their board. I believe he was their one or two, probably their one for sure. I knew they were looking at a quarterback with Bortles kind of leading that a little bit. They thought about Manziel, but I really didn't think they wanted the media attention. I had heard maybe Khalil Mack could have been there and maybe even offensive lineman, but, you know, if we learn nothing else from the NFL, usually don't take an offensive lineman first overall because they end up like Jake Long and just it doesn't pan out right. But, yeah, I had some feelers out as well because I had heard that rumor, and even me and some of the other guys from a couple of my other shows were down at Media Row with some radio guys, and all we were hearing was there was three or four possibilities, and then all of a sudden, you know, we see Clowney kind of grinning before the thing happened, so we kind of knew he had already known at that point, I think.
I just, you know, like I said, I had heard that the Texans had filled out two cards, and one was Clowney, of course, and the other was Bortles. So I just wanted to see if that had been confirmed or they did admit to that. So
they probably shredded the other card, so we'll never know. But let me get a couple of these other questions real quick. Somebody wanted to know your favorite Jaguars memory.
I have to say that run, you know, there's so many, you know, Fred Taylor running for that 80-yard run. And if I had to pick a game, I'd probably say my favorite was when we blew out in the late 90s, we blew out Miami. We put like 62 on them. I think, was that 99 that we did that? I would have to say that would be, you know, you very rarely get to play, teams so close to you during the season. We played Miami this year. Matter of fact, we played them October 26th.
Yep.
But for us to blow Miami out, because there was so many, you know, living in Jacksonville, not having an NFL team, you know, there were some people that were, you know, Dolphin fans, some of them were Tampa fans, and some of them were Falcon fans. But I'd say the majority of them were, you know, Dolphin fans. And I got to say, us putting that on them like that and us being practically a brand-new team, I mean, I think that was like our fourth year, us putting 62 up, which is like unheard of to put that much up in the NFL.
There's only a handful of offenses in NFL history that have put that kind of number up. I mean, you know, obviously the Patriots can probably do it in the last, you know, about 5-6 years ago during their big run. The Rams were the greatest show on turf, but for kind of, like you said, for kind of a newer team to the league to just absolutely just shatter the dreams of the Dolphins right there of winning that game, I think it definitely kind of showed that Jacksonville was going to be a team to have to look out for in the league. At least, you know, they were letting Miami know you're not the best team in the state.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You put 62 on somebody, they're going to remember you. I almost have to say the field goal kick when we beat Denver in the playoffs. What year was that? That was a Was that 96? I think.
I believe so. That was a Coughlin year, I believe. So yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that rings to my, you know, that brings back memories, and I think the Denver newspaper even called us Jagwads. And they were saying that, you know, we're a brand new team. You know, they can't even believe that we even made the playoffs, and we're just a bunch of Jaguars. And then we end up beating. Was unbelievable.
Oh, but, yeah, absolutely. But earlier in the show, I broke down the tight position and kind of gave everybody a little bit of an introduction to some of the newer guys as well as the ones that we've had. Is there anybody that really stands out to you at the tight end position? I mean, is it still Mercedes Lewis at this point? Or, I mean, does Clay Harbor have a shot or any of these other guys?
You know, I got to tell you, I honestly don't know, man. That one year he had a couple years ago, right before he got his big contract, my gosh, I wish we could get that year out of him, one more year out of him before he leaves us. It just that year that he had was unbelievable. It was so awesome. And we've been missing him ever since. So, and any quarterback that we can get to, you know, block real good and have hands like he did that, you know, I think that was like three or four years ago when he had his break year. Just really wish we could get, like I said, one more year out of him. He's an outstanding guy, though. I mean, he did that camp. He's doing that camp thing for the kids. And it's, we need one more good year out of him, and this would be a good breakout year for him again.
Right, but it's all the other weapons that everybody is starting to learn about. If all of a sudden he could be kind of the sneaky weapon nobody saw coming, he could really have a breakout here.
That's right. I mean, the way our receiving corps is going to be this year is just going to be unbelievable. If we could have him, you know, pass block every now and then, or have that dual threat of going out and getting a pass, you know, with these stud wide receivers we have now, would be priceless. We would be pulling the defensive guys hair out trying to figure out who's going to guard who if he has that breakout year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, go ahead.
He just got to get that injury bug away from him. And
right. I mean, you know, he did talk about this was one of the better off seasons for him, that he's been training hard. And I think he's wanting to, you know, he wants to prove to everybody that he's still that guy from a couple years ago. And, you know, I think having Clay Harbor do as good as he did last year and the signings of Barden and Jensen and Jordan and Talavea and those kind of guys is kind of lighting the fire under him to, you know, go back, you know, do the best you can to go back to being that guy and being super productive, or we may start turning the page. We have these other guys ready.
Exactly.
But I do want to thank you for dropping by with us tonight. It was good to get to talk to you again. And before you get out of here, I was gonna. How can people contact you for to get some tickets this year?
You can call me. Actually, you could text me on my phone or call me directly. 904-568-6138. Get up with me there. You could text me, say, "Hey, I heard you on the radio show." You know, we've got really good packages. We're one of the very few teams that that actually does a payment plan, interest free. We got the cheapest seats that you could get is $35 a piece. You know, you get two of them, that's $70 a game. You know, you break that down. We're in a 6-month payment plan now. Their seats are pretty high up there. I'm not going to lie to you, but you know, they're the cheapest seats, and you can spend $15 more and sit in the north end zone at $50 a piece, and they're real good seats. So it's all about your budget. We are offering a 3-game package now. The package deal is you pick one of these two games. You pick the Pittsburgh Steelers game or you pick the Giants game, and then you pick two more games. You can either one of the – you could do two preseason games. You could do two regular season games. It's up to you. And them packages start at $99. So for less than $100, you can go see, you know, you can go see 3 home Jaguar games. So it's really good. It's you know, like I said, you go with the season tickets. You're on a 6-month payment plan, and Jaguars is one of the very few NFL teams that does that interest free. So, let me give you my number one more time: 904-568. 6138.
And of course,
thanks for having me.
Oh, it's no problem. And of course, we'll have that information up on the all of our pages as well. You know, actually, one of those, you know, a good enticing 3-game package you might could do. You know, you could go, you could pick maybe the Colts game. You know, in case you wanted to see Andrew Luck up close and see that Bortles could be that next Andrew Luck. You could also, let's say you want to see the Steelers get rocked by the Jacksonville defense. And then, if I'm not mistaken, everybody's favorite clipboard holder, Johnny Manziel and the Browns will be coming to town, I believe, about mid-October.
October 19th.
Yep, that is my new name for Mr. Manziel, everybody's favorite clipboard holder. In fact, I'm sure either the Till Street Hooligans or the Bold City Brigade are already working on signs about it. But, yeah, once again, I just appreciate you calling in. And as always, you can drop by at any time. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me, buddy. Go Jaguars.
And like I said, that was Casey Jones. If you want to get information about season tickets or some of these 3-game packages, 6-game. They got all kinds of different ones. We'll have that up on our website. Last thing before I get out of here, I do want to mention that the second annual off-season tailgate party that the Teal Street Hooligans are throwing, Brett talked about it last week, is on Saturday, June the 21st at 1 o'clock. It's at Farrah and Farrah, which is West Adams Street in Jacksonville. You can go on our Facebook and Twitter for more information as well. You'll probably see Casey and a lot of other guys there. And that's going to do it for us this week. Hope you guys enjoyed everything, and we'll see you guys next week.